Good morning, Faith Cumberland Presbyterian Church in America. This is Pastor Tony. Let us now give our hearts and minds to God in worship, praise, meditation, confession, and to the service of the Lord. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Reflection. What is your latest blessing? A better question might be, what do you consider a blessing from God? Have you ever compared what a blessing really is with somebody else? What you think is a blessing of God may very well be considered as nothing more than karma to somebody else. God's idea of a blessing and our idea of a blessing are not always the same. We think blessings mean to have what we want, when we want it, having our desires satisfied without pain, problems, or pressures. Consider David's words. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. In David's mind, affliction was a blessing because he learned the ways of God. It took affliction for David to learn that living upright was a serious matter with God. The richest blessings are spiritual and internal. True blessings include having the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, being adopted into the family of God. True blessing is having the assurance of receiving every spiritual blessing in Christ, and having been chosen from eternity past to belong to God. True blessings mean receiving what God has given, being enabled by His Holy Spirit to live with a clear conscience. True blessing is having real contentment because He has promised us everything we need for our peace and happiness. Now that's a blessing. A true blessing is not the absence of hard things, but Christ's presence in the midst of hard places and times. God gave us blessings during this pandemic. We learned to dwell with difficulty in the midst of uncertainty with the blessing of Christ Himself. Having Christ in our life, what other blessing do we need? How do you measure God's blessings? In temporal terms or eternal terms? Every day, we go through life making decisions and responding to circumstances, but we rarely consider what does the scripture say about this. Consider one of Jesus' famous sayings, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you?" When we call Jesus Lord, it means choosing His will, His word, and His ways above ours. It matters not what the majority says. We cannot call Him Lord and then proceed to run our own lives as we see fit. When we do call Jesus our Lord, then we are to live the surrendered life. Often, we think of being surrendered to the will of God means living with adverse circumstances with a smile on our face. Whatever God's will for your life may be, God gives you the grace to do His will. We are afraid that God's will may be staying in a difficult marriage or never to marry and so on. Being surrendered to the will of God does not look the same for everyone. For one individual, it may mean he or she must remain in a difficult employment situation for the time being. For another, the will of God means not bearing children, living with an incurable disease, raising an autistic child. It's not beyond us to question God's love when faced with unfair circumstances, given that we love the Lord and serve Him with gladness. We may struggle with God's choices for our life. What matters is our saying, "Yes, Lord," and then doing whatever He says to do. Total surrender to Christ as Lord simply means submitting every detail of your life to His sovereign leading and control. Can you say that you are seeking to know and follow God's will and word? Father God, Lord of all the earth, we come with thankful hearts for breathing life into us. Who knows the ways of the Lord, but that You made us for Your pleasure. You made it be for us to worship You in spirit and truth. Give us opportunity to express our gratitude in our daily affairs. Let us not worship You in words alone, but let our deeds acceptably speak of our love and devotion to You, O God. Let not one day go by that we praise You not. O God, teach us to be ever humble before You each day. Remove pride and arrogance from our lives, that we are not cast from Thy presence. Your word tells us You are opposed to the proud, but You give grace to the humble. Teach us, O God, the way of humility, that we may be worthy servants in our affairs. And teach us to ever seek Your righteousness. O God, we shall not be foolish and not acknowledge our sins. We are torn as we seek to be close to You, the more sin tugs on us, and the forces of temptation has its way in us. We confess our sins, O God. We confess our grieving You whenever we allow sin to reign in our bodies. Give us a clean heart. Revive our spirit in the way of the Lord. May our hearts and minds never again be a reservoir of sin, but rather a glorious well of goodwill and good works to Thy glory. Thank You, O God, for Faith Cumberland Presbyterian Church in America. May our church and denomination know the grace and visitation of Your Holy Spirit. May this church be an oasis of salvation, ever proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ, Savior to those calling upon His name. O God, preserve us in these last and evil days. May our message be founded on the unadulterated Word of God. May we be fully committed to calling all lost sinners to come to Jesus. O God, strengthen our church as our hearts are still full with grief and sorrow. May Your will prevail in all things. May fresh anointing fall on all leaders and members of this church. As we move forward, O God, put Your vision in our hearts that we may fulfill Your will for this church body. We know, O God, even the gates of hell shall not prevail over Your church. Empower this church, O God, to do Thy work, that Your glory may be seen in this community. O God, bless our families and households. Many families are broken and need healing. Many families know not the Lord of salvation, having rejected Jesus. O God, revive and reconcile and restore families and bring them into Your eternal pastures. For the devil seeks to kill and destroy families. Oppose the devil, O God, by Your strong arm of righteousness. Raise up generations of those who worship the Lord, who walk by faith, and raise their families in the admonition of the Lord. Abundantly provide all outstanding needs. Shall the righteous beg for bread, O God? O God, we intercede for our nation. We know the times we live in are turning desperate. Many turn their backs on you and righteousness. Many live by what is right in their own eyes. O God, turn our nation back to your throne. Give our leaders unavoidable conviction in their hearts that they may look to heaven for counsel. O God, we pray seeking divine healing for every ailing soul. Speak your healing into our hearts, minds, and body. We ask for special grace, O God, for the sick and shut-ins throughout the land. We pray for all medical staff you send to minister to us as tokens of your mercies. May we all be ever grateful to you, O God. O God, direct your special graces to fall on the bereaved. The pain of loss cuts sharply into our hearts. We know it is appointed for all men to die. Even so, O God, may our grief not engulf our souls such that we forget thy mercies. Give us, O God, abiding joy to replace our sorrow. O death, in Jesus you have no victory, nor in those who are in Jesus. O God, give us grace to live by your will, for we know the number of our days were recorded in eternal past. O God, may your kingdom increase in the earth, in spite of the evil that consumes the world. Bring all those recorded in the book of life to the fold, that your kingdom will soon come. O God, this is our prayer of supplication. According to thy word, may our prayer be the sweet and holy aroma to fill heaven's temple for eternity. Now, Father God, let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable to you, O God. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been mighty good to me. You opened doors that I could not see, Lord.
Oh, God.
I thank you. You woke me up early this morning. You let me see a brand new dawn in love.
Oh, God. I thank you.
You made a way out of no way. You turned my darkness into daylight.
For a few moments, let's consider this meditation theme, Head to the Hilltop. Psalm 121 happens to be a favorite psalm of Elder Harriet Scruggs. Growing up, it became mine as well. Each day of life We encounter human struggles, despair, and anxiety. The truth is, we live deep down in the spiritual valley of life. Where is David standing when he says, "I will lift up mine eyes"? He is looking up from the valley. In the Bible, the valley symbolizes pain, struggles, and afflictions. The Bible says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." We are in desperate need of hilltop blessings. David knows about living in the valley. He knows life in any second can be cut down by enemies who have no regard for the sanctity of life or God. David's loved ones were friends yesterday, but now are enemies. They wanted to kill David and steal his throne. Let's read Psalm 121. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." Amen. Who is David in our text? Historically, David started life as a shepherd boy and later succeeded Saul as king of Israel. Spiritually speaking, the David in our text is indeed you and I. A serious examination of your life portrait proves that valley life affects you too. How so? We deal with enemies who hate us and are willing to take our life. As in David's time, we live in ways that keep us in conflict with the laws of God. We heavily invest in the worldly things of life rather than God. And we are consumed with pleasing ourselves and not God. David shares with us his approach to daily life. "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help." David lives in the spiritual valley like you and I. Down in the valley, he faces the ugliness of life. He knows disappointments is a daily occurrence. It seems rejection is the rule of life. Much of life's problems are traced to our being rejected, ostracized, or dismissed. As with David, we are under constant spiritual attack, even when we don't realize it. Valley life for saints. You must focus on the hilltop as your destiny, what I would call hilltop vision. Realize your experience in the valley is only for a season. Even so, blessings flow into the valley from the hilltop into your immediate situation. In the valley, you must walk through the valley of the shadow of death by faith. When you are afflicted, you reach the hilltop not by accident, but by trusting God that He is bringing you to the hilltop to Him. For the unsaved, the valley is their grave. In the end, it produces only death. The only thing that will help the unsaved reach the hilltop is Calvary. Jesus, the Lamb of God, shed His blood to wash our sins away. He died on the cross and spent 3 days in the grave. He rose up on the third day. Those who reject Jesus will remain in the valley. Those who reach the hilltop are inheritors of eternal life. David makes no attempt to brag about his survival skills. David is in full control of his God-given senses, the ability to think, feel, decide, and will to act. David knows God is the reason he survived valley life. "My help cometh from the Lord." David has no need for scheming, plotting, conniving, cheating, or swindling to survive because God takes the responsibility for keeping him safe in the valley. Of all the ambitions we cherish, which one saved the day? Which life decision truly brought to town your money train? Trade in your ambitions for hilltop vision where Jesus is waiting for you. The reality is, many of our goals have little to do with God, or we leave God out of our plans and decisions altogether. We just ask God to bless us in whatever we decide to do while contending with the struggles of valley life. David survives valley life because his hilltop vision depends on the power of God bringing him up the hill and not by his human senses. There are only two ways to live in the valley. In the valley, you can walk by sight, which is living in the physical realm where you are ruled and dominated by your human senses. The extent of your human senses is your reality. In the valley, you can walk by faith, which is allowing the Spirit to regulate your life. What you receive by faith is not discerned by your human senses. David understands valley life in the context of God's might, what God is doing in his life, and how God upkeeps the world to benefit his saints. David continues his affirmation. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. The devils in the valley acts against you, but God counters with blessings from the hilltop. For David, the blessings that God pours down into the valley is God's divine goodness working for those who trust him. God's grace reaches down to you on ground level. David has plenty of experience living in the valley where devils congregate, sin and evil operate unchecked, and unbelief is the rule of life. Those who walk by faith while in the valley uses the blessings of God to move upward to God, while those who walk by sight uses the blessings of God to indulge in themselves, never aiming to move upward to God. My friends, take this with you in your reflection today. To reach the hilltop will take more than simply saying, I have faith, and that God will see to it that I reach the hilltop. You must actively live your faith to truly be moving upward to God. How do we live the hilltop vision? Answer, by the instruction of the Word of God and prayer. Draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice unto God. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. Confess your faults to one another. Forgive often. Pray this, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Quicken me in thy way. Commit these verses to memory. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. And one more, and who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully.
Do you pay?
Father God, we desperately need your hilltop blessings to seep down into the valley, so we may be revived and renewed in the strength of the Lord. Give us genuine desire to strive upward through your holy hill, O God, that your saints may worship the Lamb of God in the safety of your holy presence. We ask for these moments of worship and reflection to be planted in the good soil of our hearts. May the seed of your word blossom in us into an abundant spiritual harvest for thy glory. In Jesus' name, amen.